We're going to talk about kingdom power today. There is power when you live in the kingdom of God. How many know that you got to be a part of that kingdom to participate in it? How many know God has all the power that's ever needed? He is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere at the same time, omniscient. So we see in 2 Corinthians 1:20 our text verse, and it says there, "For all the promises of God in Him," that's Jesus Christ, "are yes." Everybody say yes.
Yes.
You ever watch that movie with Jim Carrey? And he went to this seminar and he said yes, and then he had to say yes to everything. That was hilarious. But we have to be that way spiritually. We need to start believing the Word of God. And it says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. And then it says, to the glory of God through us. So that's the first five points there, I believe. All promises, not one, not just two. And it's not just salvation, I'm sorry. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are still for today, and divine healing and miracles, because I've seen them. I've seen miraculous things, especially in other countries. I don't know why. I guess it's because of our wealth as a nation and our comfort and our luxury that we live in the United States. But it seems like in other countries, people are more desperate, it seems like, for a miracle. And sometimes they'll walk miles. I told the story about preaching a minister's convention in Nairobi, Kenya. There were 7,000 pastors at that convention. I was one of about 10 speakers. And one of those young men that was a pastor, he lived 275 miles away from Nairobi. And he walked, I don't know, maybe 50 miles. And then he caught a bus the rest of the way. And so it was, you know, it was a big ordeal for him to get there. And so he was just thrilled. He wore a lime green suit every service. You know, it's the only suit he had. But it looked crisp and clean, and he was bright and had a big smile. And he came to my seminar, because we each had a seminar we taught during the daytime. He came to every one of them. I said, "Well, you can go to somebody else's seminar. You don't have to go to mine every day." He said, "Oh, no, I want everything that you can give me." And so, you know, that humbles you when somebody tells you something like that. And so it's up to us as believers to get a hold of the Word of God and everything that we can get from God so that we can give somebody else everything that we have. You know, and so it's important that it's all the promises, and in God they're yes. And number three, in God they're amen. Number four, they're for the glory of God. And number five, it's to work through us. He desires to use us to allow glory to come to Him. And it's because He's already given us promises. He's made it easy for us. He wants us to take a hold of what is already free to us so that we can bring glory to Him. And they can know that it's a person that they can relate to you. You know, so many times people say, "Oh, well, you're a preacher. You never had a problem like this." Well, you don't know. A lot of people who are preachers today went through the ringer. Some of them were even drug addicts before they got saved. We had a Jimmy Wagner here a couple Wednesday nights ago. He leads Crossroads. What a tremendous ministry they're doing, you know, to young men. And he came out of the darkness into the marvelous light. He has a tremendous testimony. If you can ever hear it, you know, you should hear his testimony and how God saved him and delivered him. And many people who are sitting here, God delivered you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And we see that there are certain things, and if you'll look with me at Matthew 6, and this is part of our teaching the last several weeks, is the Lord's Prayer, which you know the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father who art in heaven, and so on and so forth. It goes all the way through the prayer, and I like the last part, the very last sentence or phrase or clause, it says, for yours, who is that? Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Man, God has it all. His kingdom, His power, His glory. And it's not just once or twice that He'll do something for you. It's forever. He will help you forever. There's no limit. You know, when somebody gets help, somebody says, well, we have to limit it. And in the natural, sometimes we feel that way. You know, you just can't pay everybody's electric bill all the time. But if I had it and somebody couldn't pay it, you know what I'd do? I'd pay it. You don't know how many calls I get a week asking if somebody helps pay electric bills. I've had people ask, can you help pay rent? I've got three children. They're about to turn electric off. And it was in the middle of winter. And if you don't have it, you can't do it. But just imagine if we had an unlimited supply. And I won't say our church would be overrunning with people, but quite possibly it could be. You know, if you had enough help to help people. You know, sometimes you got to start somewhere. Sometimes it's in the natural. You know, it sometimes is where their food is put on the table. Sometimes they need food. Sometimes they need their electric bill paid. Sometimes they don't have gas to go to work. And it really grieves me when I don't have the means to help people that are really in dire need. And it would really bring them, you know, to a place where they could glorify God by giving praise to Him, that they cried out to Him. It's like the young man one day that he had been in a class like Spirit Academy, like I used to have, and they were praying and asking the Holy Spirit to talk to him and for him to become more aware, just like we went out with our One Amen shirts, and he was on his way home, and he was whistling and just thanking God for the class and about the Holy Spirit, and he said, Lord, can you tell me something right now? Can you? And he felt led, well, you need to go buy milk. He says, well, I don't need milk. And so he went in the grocery store, bought a gallon of milk, came out, put it on the seat, and he drove a little farther, and it's like the Lord said, stop here. And he said, but Lord, I don't know anybody here. He said, pull over. You know, these thoughts coming into his mind. And so he pulled over, and he sat there a minute, and it's like the Lord impressed him. He said, go up and ring that doorbell. And he went up on this front porch, and it didn't even appear like anybody was there. And he rang the doorbell because he was really testing his knowledge about learning about the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, there was a man who came to the door. And he said, can I help you? He said, I don't know why, but I felt like I was supposed to buy milk. And then I felt like I was supposed to stop at this house and ring your doorbell. And he heard somebody in the back. And the guy, and it was a Spanish family. And the guy said something in Spanish, and the lady came out from in the back with the baby. And she saw the milk, and she began to cry. Tears began to run down her cheeks. And he said, what is going on? And he said, in English to him, you know, the lady in Spanish said, well, she was praying that God would provide milk for the baby. We had no milk. And here you are. You know, just a prayer. All the promises, even milk for your baby, can be brought in by the Holy Spirit's power. And see, all the kingdom's His, all the power's His, all the glory goes to God. So what a wonderful testimony and story of the love of God. And this is so powerful, but reading through 15 then, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Okay, you pray the Lord's Prayer. It's so powerful. And then He reminds us, now, if you'll forgive, God will forgive. You can't hang on to unforgiveness and resentments and angers and bitterness against people and then think that God is just going to treat you like everything's hunky-dory. You know? God has it all available, but it's not Him that ties up the hand sometimes. Sometimes it's us because we got a stinky attitude or we don't forgive and we're holding a grudge against somebody. And I was just praying the other day. I was on my way in and I said, Lord, I'm just going to purpose not to say anything negative about other people, you know, that I felt like had mistreated me or spoken something ill of me. I said, I'm just going to work on that. And I'm endeavoring not to say anything bad about them. And so I really felt good. I'd prayed through and I felt good about it. And then I don't remember, I think I was in the kitchen last night. My wife was making cookies and zucchini bread and banana bread. And of course, I scarfed a couple of those chocolate chip oatmeal cookies while they were hot with some cold ice milk, you know. And so, anyway, I was in there. I went back to check them out again, see if I might could grab a couple extra ones. But while she was there, she had talked to somebody, and I made a kind of a sarcastic remark about that person. And then I looked at her and said, honey, I'm sorry. Forgive me, and Lord, you forgive me because I just said something negative about somebody. And I was endeavoring, I wasn't going to do that anymore. And so I'm telling you again, I am endeavoring not to do that. So if you hear me, rebuke me. I give you permission. If you hear me say something sarcastic about somebody, you know, because it's a bad habit for all of us. There is power in our tongue and what we say, and it affects what's in our heart. You know your heart's tied to your tongue, don't you? And your heart is your emotions and your thoughts, and a lot of times your behavior comes right behind it. So let's watch what we say about somebody, and if you have had unforgiveness toward them, you need to actively forgive. Amen. And you need to let some things die. Don't bring it up anymore. It's painful. And I'm endeavoring not to do that myself anymore. 1 Corinthians. Well, I didn't read verse 15, did I? Well, yeah, I did. I basically said it. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. I love this little passage, and I love what's before it because it talks about fathers. But let's look at 18 through 20. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. That's some, you know, people act like they're just as good or better than others sometimes. How many of y'all know puffed up people? That's hard to say. But they're puffed up. They're proud, arrogant. They're know-it-alls. I'm not going to talk about any of them. Because I've endeavored that I wasn't going to say anything negative. I know a few, but I'll just keep it at that. And Lord, let them live up to their headlines. You know, if they know that much, good. Good for them. Amen. But it says in verse 19, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. In other words, a lot of people can say things. You know, I remember a guy telling me a real storyline, you know, when we came up here to visit one time from Florida. And I get the newspaper. This person was bragging about hitting home runs for the baseball team. And he was talking to me, telling me how many home runs he hit. And I said, that's funny. I read the newspaper all the time. And I've never seen your name in there. And he went, oh. Well, I did. I had the DAR delivered to my house through the mail. And so I would read, you know, the sports page and about what's happening, obituaries and such as that, and who got married and buried and so on. That's what preachers do, you know. They marry and bury. So that's part of it. Dedicate babies and, you know, it's almost like being a politician, you know. You hold babies, kiss them on the forehead, and say prayers for them. But anyway, he would lie. And then he got caught in the lie. And I forgave him. And I treat him nicely every time I see him. But, you know, some people are puffed up. do they really live up to what they claim? You know, many people say things, but the way you really know is in the power of their life and their lifestyle. What kind of power comes from the way that they live? And then it says in verse 20, for the kingdom of God, isn't that what we just talked about in the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then at the end, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. You know, God has it all. You know, He's so powerful. And His kingdom is so awesome. And His glory, He gets glory because of what happens with His power and His kingdom. But He said the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Anybody can say a word, but not everybody can operate in the power. You know, and I've seen it many times. I prayed over a lady one day, and she is really a unique person. This was many, many years ago, and it was probably, I guess, about 24, 25 years ago. And I was praying over her in the altar, and the Lord said, tell her she's forgiven for the abortion that she had. You know how hard that is to tell something like that to somebody? But I knew I could hear the voice of God in my heart and my mind. And I whispered, I leaned over, and I whispered in her ear. And she had other children. And I whispered in her ear, I said, the Lord told me to tell you, you're forgiven for that abortion. And she dropped like a ton of bricks on the floor, grabbing her stomach, crying, almost violently, just crying and weeping and sobbing like a baby. And I got a couple of ladies come over and pray with her. But it set her free. See, a word is good, but a word, when it has power, is tremendous. I mean, it will literally set people free. You know, the name of Jesus can really do things. I remember when I was a child, and where Nybert Clinic is. Any of y'all know where Nybert Clinic is on Leicester Street? Well, when I was a child, the Assembly of God Church my family attended was there, and next to it was Brown Chapel, I think, church. Anyway, the two churches were there, and you can kind of tell on a Sunday night who had the better service, because one would still be going, the other would be letting out, you know. But I'll never forget that there was a young man that came to the Sunday morning service, and he started having a seizure in the middle of the service. And Peck Bowles was sitting over there. You know, Peck, back in those days, he was young. I mean, he was in his 30s. Back then, he looked like Mr. Clean, you know, because he carried those Pepsi cases. You know, he'd carry them in like this on each side, the bottles, into the stores. And he'd wear a white T-shirt and blue khakis. And, of course, he was a tank. And he just reached over there and said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He just kept saying the name of Jesus, and that boy's seizure just calmed right down, and it stopped. It was amazing. You know, the power. See, one prayer can have a tremendous power to help somebody. And, you know, I've prayed with people in many different places, on airplanes and airports and the hospitals. I've prayed for people at Walmart. I've prayed for people wherever God would lead me to talk to somebody, and there'd be opportunity for a prayer. And I'm telling you, just the power of God's presence will break a person, and their heart will open up to receive from His glory. And if you'll look over with me at 1 Corinthians 2, just turn left. 1 Corinthians 2. In verses 1 through 5, it says, and I, brethren, and we could say also sistren, but you know, sisterns are not good. That's where water and so on goes. So we don't say sistren. We say brethren, and that includes the sisters, okay? But anyway, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. And you know, I've been on television many, many times in the past. I've been on TBN several times in the past in different cities, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and also Memphis, and on different other networks. And I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you a fact. They want you to speak clearly, and they'd like for you to have eloquence and be intelligent, you know, in what you have to say. It's really good. And on the radio, it's good to speak clearly and not talk nonsense and butcher the King's English, so to speak. It's good to be able to speak clearly. But Paul was a brilliant scholar of the Word of God. And yet he said, hey, all my eloquence or any of my intelligence and all this doesn't even matter that much as far as the testimony of God goes. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So what is he saying? He's saying the power in the kingdom of God is in Jesus Christ and the fact that He was crucified. Because that's where the grace and the mercy of God comes from. Jesus, were you singing that this morning? He paid it all. Wasn't that one of our songs? No? Worthy of it all. Well, I was thinking just in my mind, He paid it all. And that song, that tune was going over in my mind. But He paid it all. That's why He said, if I'm going to know anything, I want to know Jesus Christ and the fact that He was crucified. And of course, we know that He was resurrected also. And He said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. You know why? Because He was so smart and intelligent, and yet He persecuted those who were basic Christians. Do you ever say, ain't? All I had to do is move back here. And about 2 weeks later, ain't was back in my vernacular, my vocabulary. And Or I don't say you and so, okay? I don't go that far. I say you all, y'all. But when we were visiting Ben in the hospital, I was, and Frances, or Cookie we call her, was there, and she said something about you and's. Because I said, you are definitely from Grandin, aren't you, Cookie? And she laughed. I said, yeah, we talked about people speaking all over the country in different ways and the different slang that we use. And I said, yeah, my wife even told me, she says, you know what, you're right back where you were when I first met you and the way that you talk. I can't, you know, you can't hide it. And when you have a ministry in a predominantly Spanish area like we had for 13 years in South Florida, and everybody tells you, oh, you got such a neat accent, you know, you're in trouble. And I thought, man, I'm like all Americans, you know. But you go to a Spanish place like Miami, and they, oh, you got such a unique accent, Pastor, you know. But it's true. I don't come with superiority of speech either. Sometimes I come with a lot of speech. It seems like I don't have no trouble talking. But superiority, no. But it says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. And sometimes it's the simple things that cut to the quick of a person's heart. It's not the intellectual things. Sometimes a person's so intellectual you can't figure out. It's like a dog chasing its own tail. You don't know what they're saying. You know? Sometimes it's just a simple word that is the thing that breaks things loose for a person to believe in God. He says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know, it's very powerful when you can demonstrate through a prayer and it touches a person and they believe. Because it takes believing. It takes the word to allow faith to rise to believe. But it doesn't have to be fancy words for that to happen. It has to be powerful words, simple words. He's saying, all the fancy talking and fancy words that I could give you don't matter compared to the powerful words that are accurate when they come to you. And what's he say after that? That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How many of you know that sometimes somebody's told you something very, very simple and it just clicked? And somebody tried to tell you something very complex and complicated and it just didn't click with you. You can listen, boy, I tell you, you listen to the politicians and they can spin a yarn. And it's hard to conceive everything. You don't know if you can believe it or not. And a lot of times you can't, you know. But it's kind of like the lady in Sunday school from my ancestry land in Ireland, since it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday. But, one of my relatives, she was teaching Sunday school over there, and she was so proud of her students. You know, she had taught them about salvation and grace and such, and they were young. It was like first and second grade, 6 and 7 year olds. And she was saying, do you think that if I just treat my husband well and I take good care of my children and I clean the house, that I'll go to heaven? And all the students said, no. And she said, do you think if we never lied and we treated our neighbors well and sometimes we gave to the poor, that we would go to heaven? And all the kids said, no. And she was so proud. She knew that they just knew what grace and salvation was all about. And then she says, what do you think it would take for me to go to heaven? And one little boy, 6 year old, he said, you got to die. Sometimes you just have to have the simple word to understand. You're making it so complicated, you know. But that's the way it is sometimes. And in the book of Acts, we see in a few short verses there a story. And Paul and Silas, they'd been having these meetings and the people were responding and some were against them. And the religious people don't like it when the simple gospel and the power of God's demonstrated. And so we're going to skip over to verse 22 because they had put them in jail. They had put them down in the lower dungeon. They put their hands in stocks and their feet in chains. Let's read 22 through verse 26. And it says, then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Isn't that something? See, they were singing hymns and they were praying to God, and the other prisoners were listening. You know, other people are listening. Other people are watching you, wherever you are and whatever condition state you're in. And you are a letter or a book to be read by all men. And so here they are. So while they were listening to them, because their attitude was different, it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe God, why'd you let me get you put in jail? This is horrible. This isn't right. You know, there's other people who have done worse things than I've done. Why do I have to be in jail? This isn't fair. Are you even there? You know, people cry out and tell God all kinds of things at times. But they said, hey, here we are, man. That was a pretty rough beating, wasn't it? Man, I'm a little bit sore, but hey, let's sing. Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Chang, chang. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Chang, chang. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Chang, chang. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And you know, when you have that attitude, and, oh, God, I just love you. I praise you. I thank you that, you know, they thought I was worthy to be beaten and thrown into jail. They must really be scared of what I have to say about you. You're such an awesome, powerful God. And about that time in verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, not just their chains. It wasn't like an angel came and whiskered them, you know, off their chains, but it said that the foundations, you're talking about an earthquake that broke up the foundations of that prison. And it said, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. Those guys that were listening, they not only heard and not only saw what God did because of Paul and Silas, but they experienced it themselves. Their doors were open, their chains were broken off, and they were all loosed. And we know in verse 30 through 34, the evidence said, and he brought them out. This is the jailer, because he was afraid they'd all run off. And Paul said, no, we're all here. So he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? See, when people see the power of God, they want to know what they can do to be saved. The power is what revealed it, not just their words. It was the power with their words. And so they said, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. So when they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And you know what? He didn't just have all the prisoners leave, but the next day, they had to march them out of town. They left with more honor than they went in with. But that whole, if they had not been put into jail, that prison keeper would never have been saved in his whole household. But you can imagine the testimony of what happened. Hey, these guys sang and they prayed, and an earthquake let them out. Yeah. That's a God that I want to believe in. It's kind of like Nebuchadnezzar or the kings when the different things happen, like the seven times hotter fire when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in there, and they didn't even get the hair singed on their heads or on their arms. And the ones that threw them in died from the heat. I mean, you're talking about the power of the kingdom of God. And that king said, your God's the one we want to believe. That's because God, he's big enough to prove himself. Did you know that? He's powerful enough to defend himself. And it's up to us to let him work through us so that we're a testimony for the grace and the power of God. You know, we talked about forgiveness. We talked about the kingdoms and power, not words. That was number 8. Number 9, demonstration of power is the real ministry. Number 10 was living the kingdom power vindicates you in the face of your enemies. And see, their enemies, they were vindicated in the face of their enemies. And God uses us when we operate in His kingdom power to help enlarge His kingdom membership. And He brings people into His kingdom because they have something they can truly believe in. And it's awesome. Amen? Well, I'm telling you, people are hungry. They just don't know it. They don't know what they're hungry for. People are bored. They're busy. They're just stirred up. And some of them they don't want to be on drugs or alcohol. Some of them don't want to be in a desperate situation. They'd like to live a normal life and enjoy a family, but they have got into a fix. They've got between a rock and a hard place, and they need the power of God to help them. And it's going to come through you and me. Amen. It's going to come by us being a witness of the glory of God. And whatever it is that you're facing, every person in here, I'm sure, is facing something. With your family or in your own life, maybe in your own body. But God is a powerful God, and He loves you so much. And He wants to do something for you. And if you'll risk believing in Jesus Christ, that He is the answer and the Holy Spirit's power is available to you, then you will be able to have a testimony that can help those that are lost. When I say lost, I don't mean they don't know where they're at. They don't know how to get where they need to be is the problem. They're lost in that they don't have a focus for a future. They don't have a focus or a vision or any hope for the future. But God can do it. And I want to tell you this, don't ever give up on anybody. Because so many times somebody's gone forward and then they've gone backwards. And they've gone forward and they've gone backwards. In fact, Chuck Swindoll years ago wrote a book, 3 Steps Forward, 2 Steps Back. I don't know if anybody in here read that besides me. Which, interesting, my brother wrote the notes and the workbooks with all Chuck Swindoll's books. He did that for Thomas Nelson Publishing. My brother Jerry, you know, he's a good teacher. But those are powerful words. People go forward and then they go backwards. Well, you can't give up on them just because they slip back a little bit. They need strengthened, you know. Paul said, strengthen the knees of the feeble. You know, strengthen those who are weak and help them to learn how to stand and know the truth so that they can live it also. Amen? I want to ask you a question right now. Is there something that you're believing for? And it's just like, without God, it's not going to be possible for it to happen. You know, I mean, sure, you might go to the doctors and they might give you medicine or whatever, but you really need something a little more, something that maybe only God can do. I'm believing for some things like that. I'll be the first one to raise my hand today. And if you're believing for some things, I want you to just stand where you're at. And if you're not believing for something greater, then I would encourage you to find something. Because God's got a future and a hope for you. And He has power available to you. Didn't you hear me at the beginning? All the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him are amen. They're final. He's not changing His mind, in other words. If you need a healing, He can heal you. If you need a miraculous, something, a miracle that science cannot heal, you need a miraculous touch. You need, you're in a circumstance, and maybe you need finances. I'm always praying for that, because that's something that, without it, you can't go forward. And you need certain things, you know, to do what you got to do. And you just don't know any other way. How is it going to happen? Well, with God, all things are possible. To man, it seems like it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So I want you to join hands with somebody next to you and come into an agreement. And since I'm standing here in front of this camera, I'm just going to grab my own hand. How about that? I'm joining my hands. But let's agree. Because you know what? There's power in many different ways. There's power when you speak the Word of God accurately. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And there's power when believers agree together. Because He says, if there are two agreeing as touching any one thing, Whatever you ask will be granted or be done for you. Amen? If you have faith in God, you can speak to the mountain, it'll be cast into the sea. And if you believe and not doubt, whatever you ask will be granted to you. So Lord, right now as we agree and we've joined our hearts and even our hands together in agreement that you are going to move mountains out of the way, you're going to bring about great and mighty evidence of the glory of God in our lives, our families, our business, our futures, our vision for our life, dear God, for our children, for maybe parents or grandparents, Lord, whatever it might be. God, maybe grandchildren or whatever, Lord, there are needs that only you can help us to see met. We ask for you to intervene, Lord, and for you to produce your power so that we can mirror your glory to others, so that there's a testimony for the grace of God to be going forth and your kingdom to be enlarged by others coming to know you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Everybody should say amen.
Amen.
That means so be it. It is complete. It is done. And we are believing with you for great and mighty things. Won't you lift your hands one more time? I bless you today. You are the head, not the tail. You're the blessed and not the cursed. You are the redeemed of the Lord, and you can say so. And as you say so, may the word of God comes out of your mouth be good. And may people receive it and taste it and see that God is good and that your mercy endureth forever and ever. Amen. Will y'all be blessed? Share with one another things that are good and great. I don't know, Amanda, I guess they could order a one amen shirt if they didn't get one, couldn't they? If they wanted to, there's an order form back by underneath that little, whatever that thing is, with the flowers on it back there.
I have a question for you. When you said Hickson this morning, I thought of Mark and Lisa. Do you